Okay, so picture this. You decide to escape the grind for a bit. You head over to Dartmoor National Park. It's rugged, it's beautiful, you've got that crisp air. You park your car, maybe lock it twice just to be safe, and you head off for a hike.
Sounds idyllic. I'm waiting for the other shoe to drop.
Oh, the shoe drops. You come back a few hours later, legs are tired, feeling good, and you see your car. But you can't really get to your car
Okay.
because it's surrounded by 12 wild ponies.
That sounds like a Disney movie, not an insurance claim.
Well, it starts like a Disney movie. It ends like a horror show for a body shop. You manage to shoo them away, and you realize the car looks different.
Oh no.
It turns out the ponies decided the paint on your vehicle was delicious. They didn't just scratch it, they literally licked the finish off.
Wait, they licked the paint off.
Tongue marks everywhere. Stripped it right down to the metal in patches. The repair bill came to £1,200. And the best part, the owner had to file a claim with a specific description: livestock damage by licking.
You know, in the industry, we always say if it's not excluded, it's covered. But I have to say, as amusing as salt-deficient ponies are, looking at the stack of reports we have today, hungry livestock is probably the least of our problems.
That is unfortunately the understatement of the year. Welcome back to the Deep Dive. It is February 1st, 2026.
We made it.
We have officially survived January. And today our mission is to unpack the Insurance Industry Digest for the winter of 2025-2026.
And the timing on this one is actually really significant. We're standing at a very strange crossroads right now.
How so?
We are looking back at 2025, which was defined by massive physical destruction, specifically the wildfires. And at the same time, we're looking forward into 2026, which looks like it's going to be defined by something invisible.
Artificial intelligence.
AI and a really aggressive regulatory crackdown.
It really feels like the hardware is breaking and the software is trying to take over.
That is a perfect way to frame it.
We have a massive amount to cover today. We're going to break down the one-year shadow of the Los Angeles fires, and I was shocked by the numbers there. We need to talk about the healthcare crisis unfolding in Wisconsin right now, which is basically a warning shot for the rest of the country.
And we absolutely have to talk about agentic AI. It sounds like a sci-fi buzzword, but it is fundamentally changing how money moves in this industry.
Right. Plus, for the brokers and agents listening, we have some deadlines that hit literally today, February 1st.
So we should probably get into it.
Let's not waste any time. I want to start with the physical reality. The Los Angeles wildfires. We are exactly 1 year out from the Palisades and Eaton fires in January 2025.
And the dust hasn't settled. In fact, if you look at the financials, the dust is getting more expensive.
The Digest calls this event historic.
Oh.
But we use that word a lot. Put this into context for me. How big was this really?
I mean, it rewrote the record books. It is officially the most expensive wildfire catastrophe ever recorded.
Globally.
Globally. We aren't just talking about acreage burned here, we're talking about value destroyed.
The estimates in the report are just staggering. Insured losses are sitting between $30 and $45 billion.
And that's just what the carriers are paying out. If you look at the UCLA projections in the source material, the total economic loss, so that includes uninsured property, infrastructure damage, lost business,
Everything.
everything, it could hit $75 billion. You have to remember, this was LA County. These weren't remote hunting cabins in the woods. We lost 16,000 structures, and many of those were very high-value real estate.
But what jumped out at me wasn't just the dollar figure, it was the Department of Angels survey. They polled survivors 1 year later. 7 out of 10 people still haven't returned home.
That is the statistic that matters. That represents a systemic failure of recovery.
A whole year later.
Right. When 70% of your victims are still displaced a year later, the insurance mechanism isn't lubricating the recovery fast enough. It's clogged.
And the survey points the finger pretty directly at that mechanism. It says 40% of policyholders are facing major insurability issues.
Right. That means either their premiums have, tripled to the point where they can't afford to rebuild, or they've been dropped entirely. But the immediate friction is about claims.
Okay.
You see State Farm and the FAIR Plan under serious investigation right now, specifically regarding smoke damage.
Explain that to me. Why is smoke damage such a sticking point? Fire is fire, right?
Well, fire is binary. If your house burns down to the foundation, it's a total loss. Easy math.
Right.
Smoke is invisible.
Right.
It gets into the drywall, the insulation, the HVAC systems. It can be toxic. But proving the extent of that damage is a battle of experts.
So the insurer sends their guy. The homeowner hires their own.
Exactly. The insurer sends a guy who says, just clean the drapes. The homeowner hires a hygienist who says, the whole house is toxic. That gap is where all the anger comes from.
And that anger is turning into laws. The regulatory backlash here seems intense. I was reading about Senate Bill 876 in the Digest.
Mm.
This isn't just a fine. This feels like a rewrite of the rule book.
It's what we call the regulatory pendulum. The market moved too slow, so the government is swinging the hammer.
So what does it do?
This bill, proposed by Commissioner Ricardo Lara and Senator Steve Padilla, does three critical things. First, it doubles the penalties for misconduct.
Which is the stick.
A very big stick. But the mechanics are more interesting. It requires upfront payments for actual cash value.
Can you clarify actual cash value for our listeners? We hear ACV versus replacement costs a lot, but what does it mean in a disaster?
Sure. So replacement cost is what it costs to build the new house today, materials, labor, all of that. Actual cash value is what the old house was worth the second before it caught fire.
So with depreciation.
Exactly. Minus depreciation for age and wear. Usually insurers hold back some of that money until you actually rebuild. This bill says no. Give them the ACV check now so they have liquidity to start their lives.
That's huge for cash flow when you've lost everything.
It is. And the third piece is expanding additional living expenses. That's the money for your hotel or rental while you're displaced. They want to increase those limits by 100% during declared disasters.
So essentially, California is telling insurers, if you want to play in this market, you cannot handle a catastrophe as business as usual.
Exactly. They are legislating efficiency because the market failed to provide it. It's going to make writing property in California even more expensive for carriers, but it might actually get people back in their homes.
Speaking of expensive,
yeah.
Let's pivot. We need to talk about healthcare.
Right.
And I'll be honest, the numbers in this section of the Digest gave me a bit of vertigo.
This is the sticker shock segment. And unlike the fires, this isn't an act of God. This is a calendar event.
We're talking about the expiration of the Enhanced Affordable Care Act subsidies at the end of 2025.
Correct.
And the Digest focuses heavily on Wisconsin as a case study for what's happening nationally.
Wisconsin is the microcosm here. The subsidies that were put in place, first by the American Rescue Plan, then the Inflation Reduction Act, they basically masked the true cost of healthcare for a few years.
And they expired December 31st.
And now the mask is off. The Digest lists premium increases for 2026 in Wisconsin ranging from 45% to over 800%.
800%. That sounds like a typo. How does that math even work?
It works because the subsidy cliff is steep. There's a specific example in the report. A 60-year-old couple in Barron County. They earn about $85,000 a year.
Which is a solid middle-class income, but certainly not wealthy.
Exactly. Under the old rules, with the subsidies, their premiums were capped as a percentage of their income. Now, that cap is gone. Their premium increase for 2026 is 812%.
That is basically a second mortgage.
It's insurmountability. And it's not just the older demographic. There's an example of a 26-year-old in Waukesha County seeing a 39% bump.
Okay, 39% is obviously less than 800%.
Of course.
But if you're 26 and on a tight budget, that's your gas and grocery money for the month.
Right, and the fallout here is hitting the actual economy. The Digest mentions small business owners are bailing on coverage.
Because they can't afford it for their employees.
That's the ripple effect. A lot of self-employed people or small shop owners use the marketplace to subsidize coverage for themselves and maybe a couple of employees. They just can't make the math work anymore. So over 310,000 Wisconsinites who used this marketplace are facing a binary choice. Pay the bill or go bare.
And when people go bare and drop insurance, that triggers something dangerous for the insurance pool itself, doesn't it?
This is the concept of adverse selection.
Yeah.
It's the nightmare scenario for an actuary. When prices spike, who is the first to drop coverage?
To people who don't think they need it. The young and healthy.
Correct. The young invincibles leave the pool. Who stays? The sick, the chronic, the elderly who have to have coverage.
So the risk pool gets sicker.
Which drives claims up.
No.
Which drives premiums up even more. which forces more people out. That is the death spiral.
Wow.
The subsidies were the dam holding that back. The dam broke on January 1st. 2026 is going to be a brutal test of stability for the individual market.
It's a heavy reality check. Money is tight, risks are high. But let's look at how the industry is trying to fix the cost problem. We have to talk about the tech.
Ah, yes. The robots are finally here.
We've been hearing AI is coming for 5 years. But the Digest calls 2026 the breakthrough year. And they use a specific term, agentic AI.
This is a crucial distinction. Up until 2025, we mostly had AI assistants.
Copilots?
Copilots, exactly. You sit at your desk, you ask ChatGPT to summarize a document, and you check its work. It's a tool in your hand.
Right.
An agent is different. An agent is autonomous. It doesn't wait for a prompt. It takes a submission. It pulls the data. It assesses the risk, checks the guidelines, and it issues the policy. End to end.
Without a human clicking approve.
No human clicking approve.
The efficiency stats here are wild. The Digest says underwriting decision time for standard policies has dropped from a range of 3 to 5 days down to 12.4 minutes.
12 minutes. Think about the operational cost savings there.
And the accuracy. Is it any good?
It's at 99.3%, which, frankly, is higher than most human underwriting teams on a Monday morning.
So by late 2026, they project 35% of insurers will have these agents deployed.
Yeah.
But let's play devil's advocate. If I'm a consumer, do I want a robot deciding if I get coverage?
That is the billion-dollar question. We are moving from AI as a tool that helps humans to AI as a partner that does the work. But the problem is the black box.
Mm-hmm.
If the AI denies you or triples your rate, can it explain why?
Computer says no.
Exactly. And that brings us back to regulation. The Digest notes that 23 states, including Wisconsin, have adopted the NAIC AI Model Bulletin.
NAIC being the National Association of Insurance Commissioners.
Right. And their main focus is bias. They are concerned that these algorithms might inadvertently discriminate based on things like zip code, which can be a proxy for race or income, simply because the data they were trained on was biased.
So the regulators are saying, prove your robot is fair.
Basically, we are seeing health insurers specifically getting flagged right now because they aren't testing their models enough for discrimination. So you have this tension. The tech wants to go 100 miles an hour to save money.
And the regulators are throwing speed bumps in the road to ensure fairness.
It's going to be a messy year for compliance officers.
Job security for them, certainly. Okay, let's zoom out. We've covered fire, health, and AI. If I'm just a normal business owner or homeowner, what is the general forecast for 2026?
Well, the Digest used a phrase I liked, sunny skies but pack an umbrella.
A mixed bag, then.
Very much a mixed bag. In the general property and casualty world, so your car, your house things are actually stabilizing. The fever is breaking.
So we aren't seeing those double-digit increases in auto anymore.
No. Forecasts suggest only about a 4% increase for auto in 2026.
Which feels like a vacation compared to 20% increases.
It does. The supply chains for parts have normalized. But repair costs are still high.
Why is that?
Cars are computers on wheels now. You dent a bumper, you aren't just fixing plastic, you're recalibrating sensors and cameras.
And homeowners insurance.
Availability is up. That's the sunny part. Carriers are quoting again. They aren't running away from markets as fast as they were.
So where is the umbrella for?
Cyber.
The invisible risk again.
It is the number one global business risk. Ransomware accounts for 41% of all cyber claims. And here's the weird trend. In 2025, prices actually dropped. It was a buyer's market. Ugh. Too much capacity. Everyone wanted to sell cyber insurance. But the attacks are getting smarter, and you can thank AI for that, too. So S&P is forecasting a rebound.
Meaning higher prices.
Expect a 15 to 20% price increase in 2026.
And the market is exploding in size, right?
It's expected to double by 2030. But there is a massive, dangerous gap. If you look at big corporations, 60 to 70% of them have cyber insurance. They get it.
And small to medium businesses.
10 to 20%.
That is terrifying.
It is. If you are a small business owner listening to this, you are not too small to be hacked. In fact, you are a target because you are small. You're a gateway to bigger vendors. If you don't have coverage, you are playing Russian roulette with your business.
Okay, I want to bring this home for the professionals in our audience. The brokers, the agents, specifically those in Wisconsin. Since this Digest leans heavily on that region.
Mm-hmm.
Today, February 1st, is a deadline you need to know about.
It is. If you are a licensed agent in Wisconsin, check your wallet. As of today, the continuing education submission fee has jumped.
This is the administrative fee per credit hour.
Correct. It went from $1 to $1.50 per credit.
That doesn't sound like much. 50 cents.
It's a 50% increase. If you're an individual agent, fine, it's lunch money. But if you are a training provider or a large agency managing compliance for 500 staff members, that cost adds up instantly.
It's just another line item going up.
Right. And it sounds like the Wisconsin Office of the Commissioner of Insurance is not in the mood for nonsense this year.
Oh.
They are very active. They are cleaning house. The digest lists multiple license revocations just in December. They're hitting people for delinquent taxes, and they are cracking down hard on unlicensed public adjusters.
So pay your fees, file your taxes, and get your licenses right.
Basic advice, but apparently necessary.
One last trend for the pros, consolidation. The big getting bigger.
It's relentless. We saw nearly $32 billion in M&A deals just in late 2025. AIG buying Convex, Brown & Brown making huge moves.
Does this matter to the average consumer?
It does. Less competition usually means less innovation on price. But on the other hand, it also means stability. These mega carriers have the balance sheets to absorb the kinds of shocks like the LA fires that we talked about earlier.
So to recap the state of the union for insurance in early 2026, the carriers are recovering financially. They're seeing profitability again, but for the consumer.
It's a year of adaptation, whether it's absorbing an 800% health premium hike, navigating a new claims law in California, or deciding to trust an AI underwriter. The consumer is carrying the load of the change.
All right, we started with ponies licking cars, so I think it's only fair we end with one more from the odd claims corner.
I was hoping you'd bring this one up. It puts the ponies to shame.
This one takes us to Athens, Greece. A British holidaymaker filed a claim for a broken nose and some facial bruising.
Ouch. How did it happen? Bar fight? Scooter accident?
He walks face first into a bus shelter.
He walked into a stationary object.
At speed. And his excuse to the insurance company was that he was distracted.
Distracted by what? The Parthenon.
A group of women in bikinis walking by.
And did the insurer pay?
They paid.
Yeah.
They successfully argued that the distraction was a sudden and unforeseen event causing the accident.
See, that is the beauty of insurance. We don't judge your judgment. We just judge the policy terms. If it's accidental and not excluded, you're covered bikinis and all.
We don't judge your judgment. I feel like that should be on a billboard.
Before we go, though, I want to leave the listener with something a little more serious to chew on, something I spotted deep in the climate section of the Digest.
I'm for it.
We talked about AI speed earlier, but consider this. We used to look at climate variables, flood maps, fire zones in quarterly reviews, maybe annually.
Right.
The source mentions that now these variables are being integrated into daily pricing models.
Daily.
Daily. Think about the implications of that. We are moving toward a world where risk is updated as fast as the weather forecast.
So does that mean in the future, my insurance premium could change like an Uber surge price? It's storming on Tuesday, so your rate is double?
It's a provocative thought. If risk is fluid, can pricing remain static? Or are we heading toward a world where your premium is a live ticker on your phone?
That is it. Terrifying and fascinating thought to end on.
Indeed.
Thank you for listening to this deep dive into the Winter Insurance Digest. Stay covered, stay curious, and please watch out for those ponies.
Take care.